Hey Reggie, before we get into this week's questions, is there anything that you want to speak on or talk about before we get started?
Nothing, just happy continue on the month of April to the Bomb First family. And I know a lot of you guys are a little disappointed and upset because of the video that was posted yesterday where WAC 100 made some, made a statement, which the reason why we allow Bomb First allow that statement or that question to go up because it's a question that you guys ask a lot in the comment sections about why do I have a relationship with WAC 100 when he says that. I'm not saying that it happened, and Bomb First is not over here verifying that it did or did not happen. By no means. And the only reason John allowed me to have allow WAC to put that segment up or elected to put that segment up was simply because verifying that we know where he gets that statement from, other than the director of the movie making no claims. We have heard the audio. I have heard the audio that makes him say that, and that's all I'm going to say on that at this point. So, yes, that's why. But other than that, John, let's get going because we got to clear up a lot of things. Mr. Knight, Suge Knight, and Collect Calls podcast has been speaking on. I know a lot of y'all are like, well, it took you a week to respond. Well, it actually only been about 4 or 5 days, but like I keep telling y'all think we tape every day. Our segments come up every day. But John and I only get together and conversate and tape at the most 3 times a month, y'all. At the most. And we just break it up like that. So we're about to respond. And if a lot of y'all here to hear Rich go in and talk shit and let all of these cannons that Rich been claiming that he has this segment or this week of episodes from response to episode 15 of Suge Knight Collect Calls, it's not going to be the one that makes me react that way. To be honest, I have been in communications with the person that's real close to Shiv. And she finally informed me because I was ready. If on Wednesday we would have taped, boy, oh boy. It would have been some things unloaded. Because Shiv knows. He knows. Why would you mess with somebody that you obviously know have a whole bunch of his audio from prison, i.e., how I released the WAC 100 statements that he made regarding the funeral that has WAC upset and his relationship that hurted WAC so much, i.e., he knows how I was able to get all the Herio's audios from prison and his phone calls that we have released some of. So it was shocking to me. And then he was like, Reggie, wait a minute. Here's the post from the person. Here's her response to me. Suge don't watch the internet. He gets this stuff from people in the internet. So I told him, y'all better stop listening to that broke snitch joke motherfucker from the East Coast, which I never understand. Of all my dealings with Suge Knight, anybody that's a known rat, and I don't think Suge don't know this, that this dude that's feeding him this information is a known rat. Snitch on one of his, not people that he had a problem with like Reggie does, on a person that he got in the car with. And then he's one of his crimies. He's admitting to being a snitch and a rat. And this is who Suge is electing to poke the bear behind. I don't think that'll be happening anymore. Trust me. So that would be the only response that y'all get from me right now, other than corrections. We're going to correct all the misinformation or the lies that he has said. And so y'all stay tuned, because y'all gonna have a good time this week with people that want to hear the corrections. Now, if you just like drama and all of that, then y'all go ahead and listen to our other segments that WAG posts up this week. But if y'all just want to hear corrections and misinformation, then y'all stay over here and listen to Bomb First this week, because it's going to be very educational for y'all of learning facts.
Speaking of WAC, you predicted a number of weeks ago that something bad would happen at No Jumper.
I just caution, old brothers, because I know how law enforcement is. Eyes on y'all. And if it ain't on y'all, something bad's going to happen up there real soon. And Adam, you got to remember, man, you ain't got gangsters running your cameras, uploading that content. You got regular people, and you're endangering their lives and safety.
Did you hear anything, or do you have any information about what happened up there recently?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I'm not going to be over here and trying to beat up on what No Jumper is over there doing, because, like I said, I like what they're doing. I really like how Adam is giving, and me listening to a lot of the content that's been put out over there, kind of like how they're taking their channel and how he's really working the channel hard. I used to hate on it. That's because I didn't really know the amount of work they were putting into over there. Don't like some of the things that he personally puts out over there, but hey, that's me. But as I predicted and told you guys, you haven't heard, there's a gentleman over there that does their reports. I'll just say that. His name is Paul. I forget his name, but y'all know who he is. The guy that does the report over there on Adam 22. Told y'all something bad was going to happen. Well, they're keeping it quiet. They're not talking about it too much. But he was grazed or shot in the leg from someone that was employed there that shot him in the leg. And I told y'all, I didn't tell y'all that the gang members and all of that was going to act a fool and all of that. I just pretty much, which I know that's going to happen eventually, but.
You play with bitch ass niggas like that. You don't play like that. I don't know about nobody else, but I don't need No Jumper, nigga.
Oh, well,
and that's the truth. I've been booming before No Jumper, nigga. Being had shows on, being cracking, being a nigga on 23rd Street. I ain't a nigga who let nobody talk to me crazy, nigga. I'm really like that. I went same crib, nigga.
My thing and my concern was for the employees. Yeah. Y'all see. Told y'all.
So, you know, we have to speak on episode 15 of Suge Knight's podcast, where he did end up mentioning your name in one segment. But there were some other stuff that I wanted to run by you. But we'll start off with the big one, which is he said that you didn't go to the hospital. Or I'm sorry. He said you didn't go to the emergency room the night that the shooting occurred. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, I want to see if something can be played. And we're going to have it played, and y'all can listen to it. And like I said, y'all going to be like, oh, well, you always say he's a liar. Yeah, he is a motherfucking liar. But I'm also say people don't lie about everything. Everything that comes out of people's mouth is not a lie. I just say they have told a lie on this situation, and it's a lie on this situation. You never hear me just say this motherfucker's an outright liar and everything come out of his mouth is a liar. Like y'all try to do me. And it's so funny how everything that I say usually come to the truth somehow that comes out. But hey, y'all listen to this dude and what he said. He had no reason to be lying about this. I have verified it on numerous of live streams, and I have always told y'all this is what happened.
Right before me and Mr. Wright got in the vehicle,
to go get to the hospital.
So Michael was with Reggie, and they went to the hospital together.
Okay. So y'all heard what the ultimate fireman, the tough guy, Michael Moore, had to say. Now, that got him shit, I'm still saying it's bullshit. But, okay. Y'all want to believe that? Whatever. But y'all hear what he said? And I have always said, and until I went and researched this and heard this, I had always said, I always thought the got him bullshit happened in the nightclub. That's what my defense has always been. But after researching, I ran across this and was like, oh, okay, there's somebody right there that's saying, me and him went to the hospital. Okay, but I know that's not the main thing. That's what a lot of y'all saying. But I listen. When I know how to comprehend. So I comprehend what Suge Knight said. He said, well, if you did come to the hospital, you didn't come into the ER room with me.
It's not about trying to put you down. But at the same time, you never came to the hospital. And if you did, you didn't come talk to me. I damn sure didn't tell you, oh, side Crips that shot us.
Well, then I do predict things. Because what I claim allegedly to happen, and I've always said, I didn't know the players in the car immediately. Didn't know Keefe D, Orlando, T-Bone, and Big Dre. Didn't know that. Just knew it was guys from the Southside Compton Crips. Well, somehow that was true, right? Then a war and all of that happened in the city of Compton after that. I guess y'all say, because Reggie said it, and Reggie told it and told the police, and the police started the war. Okay. But y'all know why Suge is... Number one, Suge is in prison, y'all. Suge is in a part of the prison where he's comfortable. I'll just say that. I ain't going to say the PC word like everybody says. But anybody go research that particular yard in San Diego, and y'all understand. When you get to that yard, you don't want to leave that yard. And if he got subpoenaed to court on this situation, it'd make him uncomfortable. You know, one thing people don't like doing is getting on no buses with handcuffs to ride in no motherfucking Las Vegas to have to go to court. And what it appears, and what y'all got to remember, is he don't want to be I knew my role. I know my role. I get shit filtered to me for being around to report to law enforcement if I had to or needed to be. Not to ever put Suge out like he told me something like that. I have never said that he told me directly. I said people in the waiting room was crying and upset and all of that, and niggas was talking. If y'all don't think nobody around there told me about what happened at the MGM while we sitting in the waiting room 2 or 3 hours, then y'all crazy. But more importantly, why Suge knows, and I knows, and he knows I know. And I went in that major emergency room and was talking to him. Because how would I know he never made it to a room? He only was in an ER. But more importantly, y'all know what I told y'all that nigga was doing. For those of y'all who's on a live stream, y'all know what that nigga was doing. While his homeboy, his little brother, was was in there fighting for his life. When I walked in 3 hours later in the emergency room, he hate that I'm telling that story. Nigga was in there having sex. Man, that's why he don't want, and he mad that I'm up there putting out that I came in that ER room with him. But I'm saying no. I'm Musa with Suge Knight. I'm not going to let all the things out yet. But that's why the nigga is denying that I came to the ER room. So I just pulled out a gang out of my ass. I wasn't at the MGM. I just put it on there. I had the plans for the longest to have Keefe D and Orlando to take the fall for something. Yeah, okay. Wish I had that much power. Because a lot of you motherfuckers would be missing if I did. Peace.
Did you hear where Suge said that Sharitha and them took or paid money to have him killed or put in prison? Did you catch that part where he said that?
I heard that. I wonder who them is. Is them supposed to be me? Some of y'all would say, yeah, talking about you, Reggie. Well, he said he'll never mention the people's names again.
Imagine having a woman that you have a child with, and you put this woman in a position to have a great life and a nice house, but she takes the money to have you killed. They don't want the child hanging right there much because they took the bait to have you killed. I didn't cry about it. I still don't say the person's name. I'm still here. You have a child. They took the money to have you killed. I took the money to try to lie and have you put away from them. But guess what? I'm not going to say their name. I know I did a great thing to them. My conscience is clean.
But he mentioned my name, what, 10 minutes later. So guess I wasn't one of them. But let's say it was me and Sharitha. But then in the next breath, he's saying, crooked cops. When he's talking about crooked cops, he ain't talking about me. I know all of y'all think I was a crooked cop or whatever. But if I was, then a lot of niggas would have been in prison. Or if I was a snitch cop or whatever, right? Huh? Ask anybody about the L-Ray Theater. Anybody in prison for that? You motherfuckers. But anyway, so who was... You know, he said that shit before. It's not the first time he said that. Every time he's getting mad at Sharitha or somebody like that, then he want to say all of that stuff. He put out a press release the last time he did that. I didn't say that. That ain't what Suge said. Y'all don't... Okay, I know a lot of y'all ain't never seen the press release because y'all new to this. So John posted a press release that his attorney put out when he said it before. All right, so now he's back on this because he's mad at Sharitha because he knows where some of this information been coming from that was put over here on Vlad channel, you know, that James said. And Reggie said right there and watch it. So he knows where it came from. So that's why he's so mad and putting a murder on the mother of his child. But as y'all will hear later on, he's saying, Snoop, why he's trying to put this shit on Snoop, Reggie, or Suge, I'm sorry, Reggie, Sharitha, or Snoop, I don't know. For those of y'all that believes that shit, it's crazy to me. It's crazy, crazy in the world to me. Because these are people that Sharitha sued Snoop a year or two later for management, for some management money and stuff like that. And so they don't have a relationship anymore. Never really have. But if they ain't conspiring to murder somebody, those niggas gonna be bonded for life. But they don't have a relationship like that. Y'all know how I talk about Snoop used to be daily, right? So y'all know I don't have no type of relationship with Snoop. But everybody that's Suge Knight gets mad at, all of a sudden becomes the go-to car for you guys. Tupac. They had something to do with killing Tupac. They were trying to take my company. They were trying to do this. All right, sure. Okay. But everybody know, the court of law know, Keefe D done told y'all what happened. But y'all, for the life of me. And John has to remind me all the time. He's like, Reggie. That audience is so small. They're the same people no matter what you say, however you present it. They still, because they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong, so they're going to always continue that. These are the Michael Carlins of the world, the snitch joke of the world, the people like that push that narrative. Why do you even care about all of those people that has that type of following? They are a small audience that's filling up the comments that want to believe that. Any sensible person knows and listening to what Keefe D is saying. Only argument that people have is who's the shooter, Orlando or Big Dre. other than that argument, why do you care, Reggie? Those are people that don't want to admit that they were wrong, that they got it wrong. But hey, Keefe has a court date coming up this week or sometime next week. I think the 20th or the 21st of April. He's still in there. So now the Vegas DA and all of them are stupid too. No, it's a lot of you stupid YouTubers. I'm talking about people that make the content that's pushing this bullshit ass narrative. And because they don't want to admit that they got it wrong. And so why Suge's doing that? He's as vindictive like Reggie Wright. Why would he put that on the mother of his child? I don't know. But Sharitha ain't never did nothing but been a supporter of Suge Knight. And sure, James didn't get that information from Sharitha.
Well, I saw that in episode 15 of Suge's podcast that he verified your story about Warren G and being upset at Def Jam over the publishing and things like that. Did you want to talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, you know, there goes that part where I say that everything that a person say is a lie. That's why I never say Suge's a liar. I just think he's vindictive like me, where he just throw something out because he know he can maybe turn the fans or turn people against you by saying, okay, so I say something about Tupac. People love Tupac, and so I accuse him or Sharitha or Snoop that he has something to do with the murder of Tupac. Then they turn against him and they won't listen to him. But yeah, I heard that. I told y'all that story word for word to why he was upset. A lot of y'all thought that he was upset because he didn't sign. I used to always tell y'all, Warren G didn't sign. That was Dre calling. That was not Suge's calling for Warren not to be signed over there. It's funny to me, Warren now finally admitting the incident that he denied a year ago and did IG post on me calling me a crooked cop and all of that, when now he's finally saying, yeah, that incident. Matter of fact, I'll let y'all hear the little part of Warren G clip.
Suge, you right. History would repeat itself. Because, nigga, you wasn't the only nigga in the room, nigga. You wasn't by yourself. It was other people in the room, too. I'm not going to say no names because, like you said, we don't talk. So why you on here talking? Let that shit go, man.
Yeah, I hear what he just said. yeah, that happened at the office, but it was more guys there. It wasn't just you that made it happen. Well, that's kind of how I told it a year ago. And he went and did it on IG and did a post responding to me. But now that Suge's saying it, that's the good thing. But hey, like I always told y'all, it was behind publishing and writing that Suge was upset with Russell Simmons and Def Jam. Told y'all that. Y'all didn't want to hear it, but thank God now Suge repeated it. He said it like I said. Like I always tell y'all, things that I said eventually come to truth, comes out. And Warren is even verifying that, they did whoop on me and this happened and all of that. But it wasn't just Suge that did it. But hey, and that's what I said in the thing. I said, ain't nothing, you know, getting jumped by niggas. That ain't no strike, you know. That don't make you, anybody can get jumped or rack packed. That don't make you weak just because you got rack packed or whatever. Just tell the story how that happened. He told all the, if y'all ever listened to that original story that he told, he was Rambo and how he was running to go get his Uncle Ron that he always talking about. That was a Naval SEAL or whatever. And no disrespect that he wasn't, it was, because I heard a lot of people say positive things about him. And that would be my take, my only response to that. But yeah, Suge has always maintained that. And even the part that he says about, the $100 million, or the $20 million from Dre, I have always heard him say that as well. But what happened on that was the Chronic was distributed by Sony, and Dre had a publishing deal with Sony. And Suge at the time was riding with Dre, and he allowed him to steal producer credits from people like Hutch and Das and beat makers and stuff. And so they were just recouping their money. And Suge never had a publishing deal with Dr. Dre. Never did. So that would be my only take on that. But
yeah. And speaking of Warren G, I was a big fan of that first album, of the first Warren G album that came out. And to me, it is crystal clear that Snoop and Corrupt wrote for that album, because the evidence is he was never able to have an album like that afterwards. And, you know, Corrupt and Snoop, their writing skills are both diminished by the time he put out that second album, which, if I'm not mistaken, I believe was 97. But yeah, I know he tried to say that Snoop helped him on one song, Corrupt helped him on one song, and he did everything else.
And as far as Snoop and Corrupt writing my album, you ask them niggas that. Them niggas ain't wrote my album. Corrupt helped me with Do You See, Snoop helped me with This DJ. Other than that, everything else I wrote, so.
But I am a Warren G fan, but I don't believe that statement he made.
Yeah, and it was obvious back then. They knew what they were doing. They didn't. They wanted, just like as your boy Gene Deal has always said, that the issue with Big and Puffy was. So it was known for the artists to do that. When he wrote most of the stuff for the group that he was with, Little Kim and what's the name of his little group?
Junior Mafia.
Junior Mafia. Yeah, the Junior Mafia guys. So that's common practice and common knowledge to what happens, y'all. But Suge's right about that situation, and he has always maintained that. So, yeah.
Another segment I wanted to get your response to from Suge's podcast is where, and you've spoke about this, but I hope, you know, you'll go into detail or just give your spin on why you feel like Suge said this, but he said that he never paid Orlando a dollar.
You know, other thing is this. I never, ever, ever gave Orlando Anderson a dollar, for me personally. Red's father, Big Red, said that on the interview, they said. The crazy thing about all that is that Orlando Anderson was suing Tupac.
Did you hear that?
Catch that. Catch how Suge say that. Never paid him I personally never paid him a dollar in his life. Well, yeah, he's right. Y'all boy KVD said it was a duffel bag of cash. I told y'all that's not accurate either. But the check was done by Death Row. And so Suge's playing word games with him by saying he had no pocket, you know, because he was in prison. I mean, in county jail. So Orlando Anderson came to court to testify him for him out of the goodness of his heart. Come on, y'all. Hey. Yeah, I think that's why Orlando came to court, because he loved this guy. Suge Knight saved his life. He was pulling people off me. If it wasn't for Suge, I'd probably be dead. That's what his testimony was. And so this hardcore young crip will get on the stand and testify for that without any incentive. All right, that's what we believe in now. All right. He said that and denied that. Y'all got to remember where he was at. He catch a lot of flat for giving the murderer of Tupac some money. I feel bad even having to correct that. But y'all don't see the picture. Y'all don't see the writing on the wall why he had to say that. That was one of those things that you probably did because you didn't want to go to prison, that you realize and regret doing after 20 years or 25 years of thinking about it. But don't y'all remember in the raids, in the paperwork, there was a folder found? All you Russell Poole fanatics and R.J. Bond fanatics and all of that, y'all can go and find what they done talked about. There was a folder with his information and the check stub of either Orlando Anderson or OA. I forget what, how they said it. I didn't do bookkeeping or anything like that. But I assure y'all, the man was given $60,000 not to sue Death Row, which he never did, or Suge Knight. He only sued Tupac, and Tupac mama sued him. I think Tupac mama sued him first. And they never sued Death Row or Suge Knight. And those were the people that were mainly beating on him. Right? I wouldn't have sued either one of them. I would have been suing the MGM if I was Orlando, but I don't know. But come on, y'all. Orlando, all the things, all the stories y'all hear his compadres say about him, he going to walk in a courtroom and testify for sure out of the goodness of his heart.
Again, we cannot show you Anderson on the stand.
I seen him standing right there helping. He was about the only one.
He was helping you, is that correct?
Yes.
Las Vegas Metro Homicide Detective Brent Becker later took the stand and testified Anderson had a much different story when he interviewed him in October.
He made the comment that Tupac and Knight beat him up pretty good. And
he specifically said
he used the first name Tupac and the last name Knight.
Okay. Y'all keep listening to the Suge Knight bullshit if y'all want. Y'all keep on. Keep on. Yeah. Okay. All right. Suge never gave him a dollar. All right. Reggie's lying. It didn't happen. Okay. Y'all right? Y'all can stop saying Suge gave Orlando murderer some money. Y'all believe that. And Orlando and Suge were good friends. And Orlando and Reggie was plotting to kill Suge. But he's going to come to court and testify for him later. Okay. All right. The shit y'all say. The shit y'all listen to and say on YouTube. It's crazy. Don't see how y'all go to sleep at night with that IQ. Yeah.
Another thing in Suge's podcast is he did mention your dad. And he said that Reggie Sr. begged him to hire you to do anything because you had gotten into some stuff. Did you hear that? And do you have a response or your side of the story of what he's talking about?
Reggie Jr. got into some shit. Big Reg wanted me to hire him. He said, give him a job doing anything, right?
Yeah. Reggie Sr. Reggie Sr. hated the fact that he ever met Suge at the corner at the Dairy Suge. You remember on what's that little street? Cypress and Long Beach Boulevard when we met up there. And we told you what happened. No, I get it. Okay, Suge, you're right, man. You're 100% right. That story that we confided to you and told you should have never came out to the YouTube world about your own homeboys was planning to do to rob you and all of that. James is the only other person I think that backed me up on that particular story on YouTube. All right. Get one homeboy from the hood that can come on YouTube on your channel. They'll love to talk to you on Collect Call to say that wasn't true. Damn. I forgot to mention earlier in the episode, shout out to our prayers for my boy Rock Chisholm. Todd Chisholm. Hopefully he comes out, gets out, released because he's fighting for his life right now. He has stage 4 cancer. And hopefully they release him so he can come home. Because I'll definitely get Todd to come and confirm. Because he's the only nigga that stood up to and told him, yeah, sure. I heard those talks. Niggas was plotting to do that. But they, you ain't got to worry about no more. Everybody's standing down. Okay, I get it. That hurts your image and stuff. And it's out there, bro. You put me on blast in front of everybody by telling me, yeah, you know, Lil Reg told me this was happening and all of that. That's what made Rock stand up to do it. So I didn't think you had a problem on talking about it. I didn't know that offended you like that, talking about that. all Reggie Sr. did was verify it from a story that I do. So now you mad at Reggie Sr.? Reggie Sr., of all people you gonna be mad at? Nigga, you know you would have been in prison in Vegas for a case in Vegas if Reggie Sr. wouldn't have gave you a pass and told you go get your lawyer because they looking for you. But this is how you gonna repay Reggie Sr. and try to make it seem like... Now me, you try to say the only reason, nigga, but then you, because you couldn't work with me directly and stuff? Who believes that? I was on every trip, every place with you, with your homeboys, in every setting there could have been. But you only hired me because I was in trouble. I didn't get in trouble until that El-Ray Theater incident. It's the only time a blemish got on my record. Because people think I saw things that I say I didn't see. So that's the only time I got in trouble where I was like, oh, well, it's time for me to retire from this police shit. And I'm already a year in with you. All right, I know you got to clean it up. Man, you better leave me alone, Suge, with your lies, man. Pick on somebody else, dog. Pick on somebody. I am not the one, and you know it. You know it, Mr. Knight. But I understand, you know, you catch a little flat now. It was cool. It was all good back then when I was keeping your ass alive out of jail. But now because... you got a motherfucker from the East Coast feeding you bullshit, half-ass lies and stuff? You gonna attack me and come at me? This nigga is a known rat, Chuck, that's giving you all of this half information, bro. He piecing up what he gives you. I haven't did nothing but defended you on this shit, dog. So don't get offended and start sitting back and hear it all. When somebody brings something to you, you used to tell me all the time, Reg, don't listen to nobody else over to me. Hear it out. Only take things that you hear directly from me. Stop listening to those bitches. They don't know what they're talking about. You stop listening to that rat. If he gonna play something for you, make him play the whole thing in entirety. All right. But yeah, I heard it. That's his reasoning and his justification for it, whether it's right or wrong. But I ain't never been in no trouble until the El-Ray Theater, and I didn't get in trouble for that. Law enforcement just didn't like it. They thought, they still believe probably, that I saw things that I have said I hadn't saw. And that's when people started looking at me with a crooked eye in law enforcement. But I'm the snitch. I'm the 137. I'm the rat. I know you ain't said that shit, but other motherfuckers. Yeah, okay. Get one of those niggas from the mob or the looters area to say that about me. And then we'll have fun on this YouTube. But all you niggas from other parts of the country, I ain't never, wouldn't know how to get to Compton if Uber directed you to it. Miss me with that shit. Peace.
When Suge was addressing you in the episode 15 of his podcast, he said, and this isn't a direct quote, but he basically said, you know, Reggie, you shouldn't talk about the music business. You should talk about, you know, crooked cops or sheriffs or things like that. What did you think when he gave you advice? Which to me, it seemed like you gave him advice on the topics for him to talk on. So now he's trying to give you advice on topics to talk on.
Let's not paint a picture that's not true. But it's still a respect level. I get it. You guys get paid to do those interviews. But there's so much other things you can talk about. Of course, corruption in the city or the PD or, you know, sheriffs.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when I talk on those subjects, because I have, nobody want to listen to it. They don't get views. That's not what I'm known for. And that's the people that's on this on Bomb First channel is not for that. But if we take that advice, and if that's how people are supposed to only talk on things that where they started from, then all he should be talking about is being a scab football player, right? For the Rams. Or maybe only talking about working for Big Wes, who was working for Al Heyman as a bodyguard on their tours. Or as I supposedly was supposed to only call him was DOC security. And he only supposed to talk about being DOC D security is what all he should be able to talk about, right? Okay, y'all. Well, initially in 1994, all I was a cop all the way up until 1994. From 1985 to 1994, I only worked in law enforcement. I walked the same blocks, probably on the streets more than him, in the city of Compton. Ask anybody from Kelly Park or anywhere. I was in Compton, deep in all the little league systems and everything. So I can tell you anything about Compton, right? But so until 1994, I was just a cop, right? But from 94 to 96, I'll say 1997, I was just the security for Death Row, but always with you, right? Always with you, pretty much. When you, David Kenner, me, probably spend more time than anybody else in your life from that time, right? Okay. From 1997 to 2002, what did I do? I ran your company while you was in prison. So I can't talk about that time. All the deals, getting your catalog and stuff from one distributor to another, three or four distributors at that time. I wasn't the one sitting in no meetings and making those happen. I should. So, and then from 2002 to 2004, where'd I go? I go and run the urban department at American Music, another record company, right? 2004, I had to come back and run your stuff because you got a violation for doing some, for being accused of doing some puffy cone shit, huh? People forget about that. Don't let me bring that part up on no trip to Vegas. You remember who you got arrested with in Barstow, huh? Okay. So I had to go and run your company from 2004 to 2005. And then they hired me because they love what I did so much. Koch Entertainment E1 all the way until 2018. Running your shit because they couldn't deal with you. Oh, yeah, and I forget the time I came back fucking with you, me and you just hustling up, pushing up on niggas from 2007 to 2009. Because you in bankruptcy now because you fumbled the biggest fumble of all times in the music business. I don't know, Hammer, Mike Tyson, now Hammer still can make money. Mike Tyson doing this thing again. I can't even think of nobody that fumbled the bag bigger than you did, Mr. Knight. Can we think of anybody that fumbled the bag that big? From $300 million to, if you got $10,000 right now, if you haven't just got paid from Dave Mays, then I'll be surprised. So I can't talk about that, though, all the way until 2018. All right. That would be my only advice and my only response to that. But hey, you were on top of the game. But just like Puffy Combs and all those people that was up on top of the game, then they knocked your ass down. I think you failed the lowest, though. I think you might have beat everybody. But one thing you still got, and I'll give you that. And this is what you got to learn. And still giving advice on YouTube and stuff, you need to read bankruptcy laws. You really need to look into bankruptcy laws. Because I heard a little jab. Most people didn't hear about it. He was like saying, right before you said something about me, he said people that stole from me. I'm like, oh, wait, he about to go. But then you said, well, I ain't going to talk about that. Nigga, you know how that bankruptcy court read, please. Understand bankruptcy law. You know they went through your books like worse than the FBI did. It was so bad that they sued. And one thing I give you credit for, everything you say about your mother and father is factual. You love them, and they were good people. But you know, the only two that they sued, other than you in your bankruptcy, was me and her. Her for $1,500 a month, the $2,000 a month you was giving her, and me for the sale and transaction of the building. They ain't never said nothing about no misappropriation of any funds when it came to Reginald Wright. So miss me with that, because I caught it. Nobody else would probably caught it, but I caught it. So Shug, stop, dog. You fumbled the bag, but like I said, the Tina Turner thing, bro, you still got your name, dog. Your name should be free and clear now. It only take 10 years for all this stuff to get knocked off your credit. You got 10 years left. Don't let nobody put nothing in your name now. Don't let nobody use any of your thing. Just come home when you're 70-year-old. People are living. Well, OJ, I guess he died 76. But that's just because he had cancer. But people are now living to 80, 85 years old if they're taking care of their health and don't be fortunate enough to catch an unfortunate disease. So, dog, you still got your name. You can come home and be a great grandfather. And write your book. Do some TV episodes. And you'll be straight, dog. But that's all you got. So stop telling people and acting like you got more than that. Because Dave Mays like to sue everybody he's in business with. Go pull up the name Dave Mays. You'll see he filed lawsuits against 10 people. Or 10 people sued him. And it's only a matter of time. Between you and him. You're already replacing me, which was a great idea. Love seeing Legend doing your opening. That's commendable what you did on that. But I know you, Shug Knight. Reggie Wright knows you. You know I know you. And you know me. Peace.
Speaking of Dave Mays, and I know you're not a big music person, but the Dog Pound did a song after their trailer got shot in New York. And Tupac did a verse on it. And at the very beginning of the song, it's a Dog Pound featuring Tupac song. DJ Quick comes on the intro, and we'll play it. But I wanted to get your insight on what Quick said. And what Quick said was,
yo, this is DJ Quick. Taking a second out with the Dog Pound to let y'all know something. If you're looking in the Source Mag and don't see me, it's because them niggas on the East is the enemy. It's real.
Who do you think he's talking about? Is he talking about the people that write at the Source, or you think he's talking about artists or both, or what do you think?
No, he's talking about Dave Mays and Benzino at the time. But in fairness to Suge and Dave relationship, they always had a great relationship. Suge, meaning Suge and Dave Mays. Not so much Benzino. We never heard much about Benzino. We didn't know much. All we knew that he was in a group that some dudes got stabbed or something. That's all we used to hear about them. I mean, Suge has, matter of fact, the night of the Source Awards, I took Suge down that night to Dave Mays had like a little radio station. I don't know if Dave Mays remembered this. Well, I do. I remember everything. We took him to, he had like a little basement, a studio where he used to do like Sunday, he was like a Sunday night DJ or something like that. And she went and gave an interview at his station or for that particular radio station that he was doing. It was something on the internet or something, I don't know. Or maybe he just had a little spot. But yeah, I say that to say Suge and him always had a great relationship. I remember when they were doing Source Awards in probably 98. 1998, they had to, because I remember watching that, I think it was Puffy that came out on that Violator song, when that Violator track was hot. And I had met with a guy named Peter that used to work for the Source. And I told him, hey, man, y'all not going to have this Source Awards out here in L.A. And y'all don't have one person representing the West Coast on this ticket. I'm like, we're going to tear it up. So y'all better get on some tickets. And y'all better have somebody. And they were like, okay, what y'all want? They Maze had this guy come and meet with us. And that's when we had Dazed and Corrupt. We added them to present award, and so I'll say all that to say that Dave Maze, and the only reason I got in there to meet with him was because I'm sure, because, you know, the name of Death Row. And so I say that to say Dave and Chick always had a respectful relationship. But it was a time when it had turned, that articles was being written and all of that, where the East felt on top of the world and the West felt like they were getting disrespected. I remember I used to tell you all the time about California Love. Y'all said California Love was getting beat up on the radio like crazy. Not like it was in the South and on the West Coast would be my only point.
Suge spoke about having a luxury box at the Staples Center and said that sheriffs used it without his knowledge and also charged steaks and dinners and whatnot on his tab without his knowledge. Did you hear him talking about this?
I never complained about the sheriffs using my luxury box in a Staples Center. I was in prison. They went every game without my knowledge or my permission to see Kobe Bryant and Shaq. All the expensive champagne, wine, steak, dessert trays, all on my tab.
I heard him talk about that. Suge know he ain't never had a box at the Staples Center. If you want to play by terms, that name, because they wouldn't let Death Row Records in there. Reginald L. Wright Jr. is the one that had the box at the Staples Center. However, Death Row did pay for it. Off of a deal that Reggie Wright made to make it happen. And that was from a song that I got some money from because KC and JoJo did something they shouldn't have did. But, hey, we ain't going to get into that. But, yeah, it was actually Shit's money. But it was in Reginald L. Wright Jr. name. I don't know what he's really talking about because anybody that ever had a luxury box, I know not many of y'all have, and so y'all wouldn't understand it. But all of that stuff is paid for daily. It ain't that's like every booth has a, they lay out all of this food and stuff. You got to order it. You got to pay for it on the spot. It's just like when you go to a game, you know, you have to order it, call in and order it, you know. Well, you have Senate seats and stuff like that. But in a luxury box, you have to order it up and pay for it. So where you get that from, I don't know. I didn't know any sheriffs. At the time, I was away from him. So what are you talking about? I don't know. I had been retired from Compton Police Department since 96. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1996. So he just throwing a jab. He knows I had control over that box. And I mainly let his attorney, Bobby Shapiro, was the one that was going, or his mom and dad. His dad was the one that was going to the games all the time, or to a lot of the games. So we did do things in there. I did a DVD release party inside of the box and invited a lot of retail. So yeah, the box was in the name of Reginald L. Wright Jr. Y'all need the paperwork, I'll present it. Bet you he can't present anything. he can't present the check, which is ultimately responsible. But it wasn't from Marion Nation. It was from Death Row, which I was running at the time in charge of. But I ain't know no sheriffs. I ain't never knew no sheriffs like that. My guys were counting PD. We want to keep it real. I hated the sheriff department. And the people that came from Compton that eventually became sheriffs hated them. So that's the sheriff trying to throw a jab. Because he, for some reason, and he needed to get that right, thanks to Reggie Wright Sr., said something on an interview bad about him just because the troll, or not the troll, the snitch joke of a motherfucker, put out there that, yeah, his dad got this. His dad said you said that. All he said is he wasn't there and gave no Keefe D no $60,000. Because Keefe D was claiming that Reggie Sr. and Sergeant Reynolds, Fred Reynolds, were the ones that was up there and not Reggie Jr. because he was trying to downplay me for every reason. But I have always told you I was the one that met at 84 office and Norris Anderson with Orlando Anderson. And so people throwing that bad information out, saying it was Reggie Sr., and that's where they got that information. And Reggie Sr. ain't never met no Orlando Anderson at no law offices. I don't even think him and David Kenner ever met in person before. Matter of fact, I know they haven't. I know one time Reggie Sr. helped David Kenner get into the county jail before, but I don't even think they met. I think he just made a phone call for him to get in there to meet with one of his clients. And David called and told me, thank you for that. And so, hey, sure, stop tapping. Stop wanting to bring it, being, what's the word, vengeful or vengeful from him. Because that man gets mad every time I say something bad about you. I don't call it saying bad. I just call it telling the truth. Sometimes bad things come out with the truth. But that was his way of tapping at that. And he wasn't really talking about me because he knew I ain't never been a sheriff. And I ain't never really had no sheriff friends. If you want to keep it real, that wasn't Compton Cops at one time.
Another thing he mentioned kind of right around that part is he talked about his earring being misplaced or cops took it or something like that. Do you know the real behind that?
Yeah. But then he also say Chino. And so I think he wanted y'all to believe or insinuate like some L.A. sheriff stole his diamond ring, which is factual. That is a fact. When I was dealing with him, he has always claimed, you know, or they have always said that they misplaced his diamond earring. But anybody that's been in the state of California, I know you people outside of the state of California, which that's why he threw those little jabs or throw those little things out because he know y'all don't know. No, the Chino is where the state prison is, not the county jail. And not the county sheriffs. Two different entities, two different corrections. One is Department of Corrections, and one is the county sheriff. And in two different counties, ran by two different organizations. But yes, I was with him and heard his claims, and I think I helped him file the claim when his diamond earring came up missing, allegedly, because I have also seen you with that diamond earring since it's supposedly been stolen. So I don't even know why he even going down that track because I think that was a false claim that was made. Now I'm thinking about things, but we ain't gonna go there. But it was against the Chino Department of Corrections, which is the prison in the state of California, when somehow he went in there on a violation. In like 2003, 2004, they take you straight to that particular time. I don't know why, but he went straight to, because normally not how it happens, go to the county jail, then to the pen. For some reason, he got violated, and they took him straight back to a state pen to attempt to violate him for his parole. And that was in like 2003, 2004. Reggie Wright long gone. So where he was going at with that, I don't know. But I bet y'all can find some interviews since 2005 when he was out with that diamond earring in his ear. And so, hey, I know y'all say he went and bought another one. Yeah, okay. You're right. Yeah.
You got into this earlier, but let's actually kind of dive deep into it. So he said that everybody in the world believes that Tupac was shot and later died because he beat up Orlando Anderson. He said the only person that doesn't believe that is Snoop. And he said that the reason Snoop said that Tupac passed away is because he was out there being radical. What do you make of this? And what are your thoughts about what Suge's trying to insinuate here?
Everyone claims and thinks, the whole world thinks, that Pac got shot and later died because he was Orlando Anderson's ass. Everyone but Snoop. This is Snoop words why Pac ended up dead. You know me, I keep the receipts. But at the same time, I did a whole lot of great things for Snoop, with Snoop. Snoop, you know my motto. A man don't be a bitch about it. If you say it once, you should be able to say it twice. If you can't say it twice, don't say it once.
What should he make up of his mind? Well, now with that, he pretty much saying that Keefe D and them did it. Earlier in his taping, he was pretty much saying that Reggie and Sharitha did it, or hired some crooked cops to do it. He have claimed in that one particular interview, if y'all really, really listen to it and not be a groupie and just really listen to it and dissect it, y'all have seen that he, in that particular thing, have claimed three different entities to be responsible for the murder of Tupac. And all three of those people are people that he's currently mad at. So what I've just been trying to say is he just blames everything on people that he's mad at for the murder of Tupac. It's unfortunate, but he can get away with it because people, it's a controversial, it's a big topic. But if y'all really, really listen, he never said Reggie, Sharitha, Snoop, and Keefe D all conspired. Now, if he's saying that, and y'all want to say that, then okay, all four of us who probably can't stand each other. I know Snoop hates the shit out of me. I know Sharitha ain't got no love for Snoop right now. I know Army. I know Keefe D ain't got no love for me. I don't know what him, you know, Snoop relationship because of that Crips though, but that's all I believe it is. And Crooked Cops. Crooked Cops don't love none of them. So that's all he blames, but okay. Let's take it. Let's take his word and say, Snoop, let's play the Snoop thing now. So his claim is because of the walkie-talkie situation with Warren G, right? How many of y'all know walkie-talkies that work 300 miles? So they admit they were in Long Beach, and the shit took place in Vegas. I don't know of radio stations, AM or FM, that works 300 miles away from each other. Radio station. These are big old satellite antennas. Now, satellite dishes, okay, we didn't have satellite dishes like that back then. So forget I said satellite. But I'm talking about, so because we know satellites can make it happen. But did we have satellite radios back then? Did they throw that bad? Those are better radios than police departments have. Shit. When I was in the police car, our fucking walkie-talkies barely worked in the 8 to 10 mile city that we in. I know a lot of y'all never had a walkie-talkie in your hand before. But trust me when I say this. Now, the twerk things, and see, y'all live in a different time period from the 90s, and y'all live in a satellite where they shooting shit up in the space like crazy, and all these satellite dishes throwing. But in the 90s, y'all, they had satellite dishes. But that wasn't what they were used for at the time. All of that stuff just came later with the twerps on the Nextel and all of that. I know that feature came, but that didn't come. If y'all look up when twerk started working, 2000 sometime or something like that. It wasn't in the mid-90s, y'all. Radios.
The chirp phones, really?
Yeah, the chirp phones.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks for correcting me. I appreciate it. I really. But my point is, walkie-talkies didn't work that far, y'all. Police radios in their car didn't work 300 miles away. Come on, y'all. So, all of that. Now, I know he gets a warm warranty. Y'all say, well, he didn't say a warranty. What was happening, I believe, and I don't know this, is Snoop did have two security guards with him. Marcus and Kenneth. Marcus Thompson, who's a sergeant or lieutenant now for El Camino School College Police, and Kenneth Archer, for all you people want to look up people and all that stuff. I don't know what Kenny's doing right now, but he was the ones that worked with Snoop. They worked with Snoop up until about 2005, 2004, until they got shot, when Kendall got shot, working with Snoop. But my point is, these dudes were with Snoop that particular day. Big Flossie broke it down. He said it on an earlier interview that we had, where they were all at Warren G. House. And they were on the phones or something like that. Kenneth and Marcus were getting information and feeding it to Snoop or what happened. So that's what I believe. That niggas started calling each other. We had cell phones there. Cell phones that worked. And the security that was around was probably calling Snoop, Kenneth and Marcus, because they were cool, and telling them, hey, man, be careful or whatever. Tupac just got shot out here. Nobody knows what's going on. Why? They could have been thinking everybody was getting taken out. I wasn't the one to call Kenneth and March. I wasn't that sharp. But I'm sure Leslie or one of them called and informed them, which I'm glad they did. That put them on alert. Big Flossie said, right after that happened, Snoop and them took off, went home. So my point to all of that is, man, Snoop Dogg, and y'all know I don't defend Snoop or nothing, but I'm not going to let people just be putting murderers and all of that out of being vindictive. He had nothing to do with no Crip-on-Crip shit, Crip-on-Crip-related shit to Tupac Shakur. Now, the question would be, well, why wasn't Snoop there, and why this and why that, and why he told the dads and them and corrupting them not to come? That's simple. The niggas had just gotten into it in New York. Don't y'all remember that? They just got into it. Don't y'all remember Snoop saying that he asked Pac, hey, you going to Vegas? And Pac just looked at him like he was crazy. Don't y'all remember somebody telling that on an interview?
So when I get off the plane, we land. He walk out. I got a Rolls Royce. He got a Rolls Royce. He walked down the steps. I walk down the steps. We meet right here. I'm like, cuz, you going to Vegas? He do me like this. Went his way and he went my way. Next time I get a call, niggas like, turn on the news, cuz. I'm at Warren G House. We turn on the news, we see the yellow tape, Suge BMW.
Mm-hmm.
Call Suge, he like, yeah, they whopped whoop, come on out here now.
So, of course, the Dog Pound dudes, I told you, Death Row was cliquish. Yes. So, all those Dog Pound dudes was like, probably fuck Death Row, fuck Tupac, they were talking about fighting among each other. Tupac was talking about having the Outlaws rush the Dog Pound when they got back to L.A. from the incident that happened in New York on the radio station. So that's why the Dog Pound wasn't there. That's why you get those interviews and those clips that they playing where the Dog Pound talking about Snoop told them not to come to Vegas. because all of that was going on. Now, I'll tell y'all, I believe Snoop and Tupac would have eventually made up. The only problem I ever have is they didn't. And so that's when I speak negatively on Snoop about things and be like, well, hey, they didn't make up. And so you die how you were. That's why I tell y'all all the time, hug your family members. Tell people you love them and all of that. Because you never know when your date and your number are going to come up. And then you won't be having to damn near wanting to jump in the goddamn casket with them and all of that because you crying and feeling bad about this and all of that guilt kick in. That's what happened to Snoop. You always hear people saying that Snoop didn't come to the hospital. Another motherfucking lie. He was there that Friday. I tell you, I call the ball a ball, a strike a strike. Suge has said that Snoop didn't come. I'm telling you, he did come. Suge says whatever he wanted to say to fit his agenda and to try to turn y'all against people. And he's good. He's a very good manipulator. But did y'all ever wonder? I ain't gonna say it. Why he was running with different lane niggas and not mob niggas towards the end? Y'all think about why. Ask a real mob nigga and they'll tell you. Got tired of being playing like a motherfucking piano. Y'all remember that song? All right. Shout out King T.
Another person who Suge kind of took shots at. He kind of did. He kind of didn't. You know how he does. But did you hear what he said about Vlad, about DJ Vlad on his podcast?
I heard what he said. You know, anybody that gets in bed with Reggie, right? He's trying, you know, I think he, you know, he hears this and then he hears, you know, the person that's reporting to him said, yeah, James and Reggie was on Vlad and they said this and said that. So I, you know, so Vlad, I have to apologize to you. So first I had to apologize to John. Then I had to apologize to James. Now I got to apologize to Vlad. So everybody that Reggie's in bed with or make money with or whatever, now I got to, they got to take Reggie strays or bullets. Well, he's starting to speak on my name. Y'all think I was glad he finally said the name Reggie and all that. Because you stupid motherfuckers don't understand. The reason why I say that is like, attack me. Stop attacking people around me. And so that's what happened. That's what I feel that he did. But that's why I said he need to learn the bankruptcy laws. But then as I researched it, and John pointed out to me, this particular album that Suge was talking about was in 2004. And it was on the internet, which Suge ain't knew about it because, trust me, if he knew about it, he would have been pushing up on Vlad at some time for some money. Because everybody knows that he felt owed him some money or whatever, got pushed up on him all the way until January the 30th, 2015, the day he went to prison for pushing up on people for money. So everybody was getting their doors knocked on. Everybody. From the fucking painter, the guy that draw paint to shit, everybody, to ex-janitors, Kevin Black, Risky, QD3, everybody. So I ain't gonna name names. But my point is, so DJ Vlad would have got pushed up too if he knew about it. He ain't known about it. He just heard about it. It was something big that was put out on the with approval of the estate, the Tupac estate, that was put out on the internet that he didn't know about. But the only reason he spoke on it and threw the little strays at Vlad was because of his giving Reggie and James an opportunity over there. And the person that's reporting things to him mentioned the name Vlad. And so that would be my take on it. But John, if you can explain that situation for me, because I know you know the name of the albums that he was talking about and the whole situation behind that, because that's some internet shit. And y'all know how good I was with internet up until 2024.
Yeah. So it wasn't just Vlad. It was a group of, I think, about four DJs. They did a Biggie mixtape called Rap Phenomenon. And when you hear mixtape, it's not your traditional mixtape where you just blend songs or whatever. What they did is they took acapellas, put them over different beats, and then brought in established artists to do like a hook or to do like a guest appearance. But the one in question is Rap Phenomenon Part 2, which was the one on Tupac. And they brought in Alicia Keys and Busta Rhymes and all these big people to, record a verse or record a hook on, you know, a Tupac remix that they made. And I think it was one of the best mixtapes. I think it was the best Tupac mixtape that ever came out. And I'm not really saying that from my opinion. I think it was voted as the best Tupac mixtape. So, I don't know for sure. I think they got the okay from the estate. I don't want to say for sure because I don't know the DJ's, deals or anything like that. But I had always heard that the estate gave it the okay. But yeah, I think he's reaching on that, you know, but. You know, that's the mix.
And the only reason that they probably did the Tupac one because they made it big and did very well with the first one, which was done by who? Biggie.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I know we talked about this before, but I wanted to get your story because it's so funny. A lot of us talk about stuff online. And we'll search Google for something, you know, for an image of something, and you can't find it. And now, you know, it's odd because sometimes things are right in front of you and you don't even know it. But I don't know if this photo has been out on YouTube. I don't think it has. It's nothing exclusive. It was from a CD booklet. But can you talk about the Source Awards where you went and got the Tupac cutout and put it in the cell, and I'll show the photo?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I went with Shug. Me and Shug walked on the streets of Manhattan to this print shop where we picked it up, the board. But it was a cutout cardboard picture of Pop that he wanted to be placed, in one of the sales because he was announcing to people at the Source Awards that Tupac was now on death row because he had just got word that, you know, he was going to be able to get Tupac out on the appeal bond and, you know, whatever dealings that he had got worked out with Interscope, which I wish he'd hurry up and address those dealings. That's the type of stuff that we really need to hear about, Dave Mays, because you got this gap tooth motherfucker and this dude that you've been listening to lately that always said you was just Tupac's manager. He wasn't assigned to you. And they both were saying he was leaving you. But you over there letting them DM you and email people that you associated with on little things that Reggie says. But these are the things why I'm arguing with these people because I stand up for and saying that's bullcrap. But anyway, I'll get back on track. So this cardboard was placed inside the cell. And I believe, and you found it, that this is the picture where they got that cardboard or that picture from to make that cardboard picture that was placed in the Source Awards. So I guess we're just doing this really just for some history, just to show people this particular shot. But I'll let you take over to explain your thoughts on it because it is something that goddamn Tupac geek, which I always say fan or whatever, found on the internet. Tell you how much he's really a Tupac researcher.
Yeah, I was just looking through the Death Row's Greatest Hits booklet, and you know it has a bunch of collages of photos and whatnot. Which is funny because I actually saw a lot of people in those photos. There's photos of Buntry and Roy is in there.
Yeah.
And some other photos. But I saw the cardboard cutout, and then I, you know, sent it to you and said, is this the cardboard cutout that you guys used at the source? And then you said, I think it was. So.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big thing. I just know that we've shown a screenshot of the video of the cardboard, but you can kind of only see the silhouette. You can't really see what photo was used. So this actually shows the photo that was used, but not a big thing, just for people that are interested in it.
Like I said, we do everything over here at Bomb First. We just don't bash and talk about people. We do try to bring attention to things for people that's really into it and want to know about the business and the, you know, the music side of Death Row, which, as y'all see, as y'all gonna see from the numbers on this particular video, y'all like the bullshit as a majority. And it's unfortunate.